Okay, so tell me a little bit about this first album that comes out on RCA called Antithesis. And this is what year now?
1972.
Okay, and what's going on with this record? Who's involved with
okay,
this?
Okay, well, Jack Richardson is a producer. He was the Guess Who's producer. And Brian Christian was their engineer, who we also got along with very well. And Jim Mason came along. Turns out the guy's from Waterloo, Iowa. And this is where I grew up. And it turns out me and Jim Mason went to the same school when we were in third grade. And we actually knew each other from Waterloo, Iowa. I mean, how often is something like that going to happen in your life? Once, okay? And it happened.
I'm reading the inside of the notes here, and this album is dedicated to John Lansberger.
I think that was this guy that did PA in Minneapolis, and I think he ran into a viaduct. Hmm. Yeah, I think that's what happened. He was a sound man in Minneapolis, and he was in his truck, and they ran into a viaduct, and that was the end of John Lansberger.
Did you have any songs that you wrote on this one?
Okay, Crusader, I wrote that with Rico. Young Gypsy, I wrote that one. Is that myself.
Is that not credit? Is that been...
I made that one up of myself.
Is that one not credited to you, Jim?
Well, it is here, but I don't know anymore. You know what I mean? Okay. I haven't seen a penny off any of this stuff. I don't really give a damn, to tell you the truth. Crusader, me and Rico wrote that. Young Gypsy, I wrote. Yeah, I had more to do on the third album probably than I did on any of them.
Where did you record this one?
RCA. Studio A.
Were you going for a different sound now with a different label? Different producer?
Different producer. I always felt like we were the tax write-off. I mean, I love the Guess Who. Some great guys. I mean, I really, you know, like them guys a lot. Yeah, we got along good. We had some good fun.
And you had a 45 off that called Day After Day with Lean On Me on the backside?
I don't think it went anywhere.
And just for the record, who's the lineup on this album?
There would be Rico, Walsh, Randy Cates, Bill Lorden, and me.
Do you feel RCA did a good job promoting this album or not?
Yeah, they did as good as they could. They did as good as they could. The songs just, like I still say, we were just really hard-headed guys, and there was nobody really in control that could say it, damn it, it's going to be like this. Nobody really did that. So, you know, we had, you know, it was our own fault. That's all I can say, that we never had a hit record.
And that brings us to your last album, the fourth album.
Oh, the most wonderful album cover in the world.
Unlock the Gates.
Oh, good Lord.
You had the same producers now, Jack Richardson and Jim Mason, correct?
But also we had Chicago playing horns for us. And they've never done that for anybody else.
Do you know which songs they're playing horns on?
Just about all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And which songs did you write on that album, Jim?
Precious One. I helped Rico with Unlock the Gates, but I can't really, you know, I'm not going to stake a claim to anything. I think Precious One is the only one that I really can say that. That's my tune.
Is that news?
Is that news? Me and Rico wrote. Where is it? I'm not seeing it here. Where is it?
Song one.
Oh, yeah. Rosenbaum Johnson, yeah. So you think I came up with the guitar part. Pretty much had a song, and then Rico put some lyrics to it, so we finished it up.
And that album had two 45s. Don't Bother Me, backed with Make Peace with Jesus. Need You Baby, backed with Precious One.
Precious One, that's one of my favorites. That, I wrote that in a 5/4 10/8 time signature. Probably was threw that one off. What was I thinking? Toynette, for some reason, Rico wanted to put that extra bar, extra beat in that bar. I think if it wasn't for that, that could have been a good song.
Which song now?
Toynette. Again, Chicago, they did such a good job on these. Smooth Operator, that was a great tune. I think Sade ended up getting the right idea. But I don't know. That's my story, and I'm stuck in it.
Who came up with the artwork for this album?
God knows who.
What do you think of it?
The worst ever. We were on the road when that happened. We saw that cover. We flicking schnit. Okay? And Unlock the Gates was a great song, and that one I think should someone should have heard that. Apparently they didn't.
And this is the same version on the prior, same band lineup as the prior album, correct?
Yep. Yep. That's me and Walsh, Randy Cates, Bill Lorden, and Rico.
Band continues to tour a lot?
Yep. More than we should have, probably. We should have paid more attention to, you know. Well, what, I don't know. Things happen the way they happen, Tom. You know, like I say, I'm okay with it. I get a lot of compliments for this kind of stuff. I'm all right with it. Can't figure out why sometimes.
What happens to the band after the fourth album? 73 is the fourth album.
All right, we moved back to Minneapolis for the sake of our touring, because the Guess Who were out of Winnipeg. And it was cheaper to fly us back to Minneapolis than it was back to Los Angeles. And this alienated Rico, it alienated Bill Lorden, and I had to start all over with what I had left there. So it was pretty much a nightmare.
I'm not sure I follow you. You had to start over with what you had left.
And me, Walsh.
You all moved back to Minneapolis?
And Cates even left. Yeah, so it was just me and Walsh, yeah. Randy went back to Texas. Rico stayed in Los Angeles. Bill Lorden stayed in Los Angeles, got a gig with Sly.
Sly and the Family
So
Stone.
I was left with me and Walsh. So I had to scuffle it and put some guys together to try and be gypsy. And I ended up leaving my happy home and getting thrown out of my happy home. Hiring some new guys. I went back there with Stan Kipper, Chico Perez, Jim Walsh, and a bass player named Louis Derry.
You went back where?
To Los Angeles.
Okay.
To Dave Mancini had heard us again. He sent the scout out, Terry Furlong, and he heard us, and he brought us back to Los Angeles and put us up for a while. Oh, man, from there, I don't even have time to tell you all this, Tom. Not this time. You know, we'll have to, you know, that's a... Up to this date, gotta, you know...
Let's talk.
I couldn't stay awake that long.
Let's just talk a little bit. Let's just talk a little bit about Magic in My Life. Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's in 1975. You recorded a 45, Magic in My Life, with Don't Stop for Nothing on the flip side. That came out in 1975 on Do Re. Who's playing on that 45?
That's me, Jim Walsh, Louis Derry on bass, Stan Kipper on drums. God, who am I leaving out?
Guitar players?
That would be me. Yeah, that's right. I play guitar.
Oh, I forgot. You play guitar and sing.
Yeah. So it's me, Walsh, Louis Derry, and Stan Kipper, and Chico Perez, I think, was playing percussion on that.
And where did you record that?
Devonshire.
How did you get it out on Doré?
That's Devonshire Studios' secret name at that time. And I didn't investigate that far. I figured we got to do, play it, go with it. No, Ray. I don't know.
So that actually turns out to be the final Gypsy 45.
Right. That's when Louis Derry went back to Minneapolis and died.
Where was Louis from?
Tough thing. Louis was from Minneapolis. I think he might have been from New York, but he was living in Minneapolis when we met him. And he picked up after Randy Cates, excellent bass player, singer. Geez, that boy could, you know, just, he was like 6'4", perfect condition. You think this guy will live forever. Went to Los Angeles. He got meningococcus meningitis. Went home, stopped in Minneapolis. He's going to play a gig with his father in New York. Stopped in Minneapolis and died. So we all had to go to the hospital and get hemoglobin shots and stuff. Terrible period. You know, we had a lot of stuff went on with that gypsy band. Let me tell you, buddy.
Those two songs, Magic in My Life, Don't Stop for Nothing, are covered by the Fifth Dimension.
The Fifth Dimension.
Right. How did that happen?
I was working with in Devonshire Studios with Dave Mancini, and I was the only writer. And I was like a writer-songwriter with Devonshire Studios. And Fifth Dimension, came through them. They heard those two songs, and then they liked them. And they recorded them. And
who's singing lead on Magic in My Life?
That was Florence. It should have been Marilyn.
And Marilyn didn't sing it
because she wanted to give... I don't know how to say this, Jim. Yeah, she wanted to give Florence a shot. You know what I mean? Florence was all upset because she had never been able to sing a major song by the Fifth Dimension, so they gave her my song. Thank you very much.
And who's singing Don't Stop for Nothing?
That's Billy Davis. Boy, he sang the hell out of that. Billy, boy, I tell you what, he just sang the hell out of that.
That was produced and arranged by Jimmy Webb, correct?
I believe so, yeah. Not bad, huh?
And that was on their 1975 album.
Yeah, what a great name for an album, Earthbound. Well, I tell you, there's some justice stuff.
So this is actually the band's final record
album
before Billy and Marilyn go solo.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think of their version of your two songs?
Well, I love the way Billy sang Don't Stop for Nothing. But Magic in My Life, I mean, God bless you, Florence. You know what I mean? You did a good job. But she didn't do much more than I did with it. And I expected to hear Marilyn sing it, who would have taken it to the next level, and that never happened. And that could be they broke up right after that. You know, gee, thank you, Jimmy. Because of you, we broke up.
Were you at the recording sessions for mm-hmm. the Fifth Dimension?
No. But I've been over to Billy and Marilyn's house, and I met them, and they were just such sweet people, just wonderful people. They loved them songs, and we sang them together, and I thought for sure Marilyn was going to sing it. But then apparently they ran into some internal problems, and Florence wanted to sing it, so she let him, and you know, there you go, history.
I understand later in the 1980s, one of your songs was recorded by Ray Charles.
Yeah.
Which song was that?
It was Too Hard to Love You.
And how did you get to know Ray Charles?
Well, I just got a phone call one day, and it's Jim, and I knew right away, Ray, and he laughed. He said, I heard a song of yours. I wanted to be able, if it would be okay if I record it. I said, that'd be wonderful if you record it. He says, nothing. I'd like you to come down and play on it. I said, I will do that for you, Ray, on one condition. What's that? I says, you don't holler at me. He says, what? I said, I heard about you. And he cracked me. He said, come on, I promise I won't holler at you. And he didn't. We had a great day, great night, a whole night with Ray Charles. I tell you, nothing going to spark me like that. And when I left the studio, he grabbed my hand and my wrist, and he said, Johnson, attack, attack. Attack. And I stood there, was like numb, I was shaking. So me and my friend Donnie, we got out in the car, and I said, Donnie, did you hear what he said? He said, oh yeah, oh yeah.
What was the meaning of his words?
It was just like, do it, attack, get it, do it. He was like, man, I don't think anything's ever inspired me more than that moment right there. Now I'm thinking, God darn it, I hope it ain't too late. I wish you would have told me that when I was 20.
You mentioned another song of yours earlier that was recorded by an artist. The song was called Under Your Spell.
Yeah. It was Bebu Silvetti.
And he was?
Keyboard player from South America. This is the Devonshire studio. They called me one day and said, there's a guy in here who wants to record one of your songs. Which song? He says, Under Your Spell. Okay, it was a vocal, right? He says, but the guy's name is from South America. His name is Bebo Silvetti, and he wants to do it instrumentally. The what? Jay, he's a piano player. So I went down, and this guy, this is like the, I'd met Joe Zawinul before, and this was like the genius musician, the guy that, and Bebo was like that. He had that way better musician than I will ever live to be. But he had chosen my song to play, and I was just floored. And it was a pleasure to meet Bebu Silvetti. I don't know who, probably some people in South America know who that is, but ain't too many people in America know who Bebu Silvetti is.
Did he record a actual record of it?
I believe so. They did a you know, like a 12-piece string track on it. They had me come down to the studio and listen to it. And as I'm sitting there, I'm listening to these guys doing the 12 track, and then they go, okay, let's do it for real now. And I'm going, oh, they're doubling it, which they used to do a lot then. And then as they were leaving the studio, Bevu says, I want you to meet the composer. And all these wonderful world-class musicians are coming out. They're looking at me with admiration because I'm the composer. I couldn't believe this. This is quite a personal experience. So I'm going to have to go home and lay down and think about this.
I'd like to talk about a concert you guys did at Busch Stadium. It's known as Super Jam 77.
Right.
When did that take place?
1977. Yeah. That would be 1977, Tom.
Do you know the date on that concert?
That would be July 9th. Okay, anyhow.
Who was on the bill?
That would be REO. There'd be Ted Nugent, too. It'd be Head East, Gypsy, and Judas Priest.
What do you recall about
that? I recall that when we got up on... Well, first of all, when we got up on stage, there was banners. Well, there was like 60,000, I think, was the crowd. And there was banners. People had sheets hanging over the thing. Gypsy, please don't break up. And I'm thinking, what the hell? We broke up 5 years ago. So, you know, the people of St. Louis obviously really loved us.
Why do you think that was?
Well, we played there a lot. And we always played our hearts out. Gypsy, you know, Gypsy, we played our ass off. When we played a gig, we played to kick booty. We didn't go up there and just try and, you know, play our record. We went up there and played our ass off. We, you know, we played good. So anyway, on stage, we're playing. The first thing that happens is my amp blows up. First song. So we're doing this vamp. And it's supposed to be a feedback guitar thing that me and Rico start. So my amp's gone. So nothing's happening. I mean, if you don't know if you've heard this, but you hear the first 2 minutes of this tape, there's no guitar. So what happens is my good friend Don Forte, who was doing Row Crew with us, grabbed one of Judas Priest amps, plugs it into my head, into my speaker, and away we go. We play the whole gig with Judas Priest. So thank you, Judas Priest. And I'm sure they have no idea that they helped us, but God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, boys.
That was Busch Stadium, correct?
Yes, it was.
Filled out, maxed out?
Yes.
Just for the record, who was in that band?
It was me, Rico Rosenbaum, Randy Cates came up from Texas, Stan Kipper played drums, and keyboard player was a guy named Barry Kay. And I think it was an heir to either Wrigley or Squirt.
From Minneapolis?
No, he's from Los Angeles. A rich kid. Boy, he could play his ass off. And I can't quite remember where we run across, but we needed a keyboard player, and Barry Kay came up, and he came out, and he learned them songs, And I'll be darned. I mean, you know, it's hard to tell that that's not Walsh. And he actually sang and played his ass off, you know, so I'm pretty tickled with that gig.
Was that pretty much the last job?
That's the last gig that
for you?
The Gypsy, that me and Rico and Randy and, you know, yeah, that we played.
Recently, a tape has surfaced of that concert and is going to become available on a CD. What do you think about that?
It's fine with me. Excuse me, I've heard it.
You've heard the...
No, I think it bothered me the first 2 minutes with no guitar. That's when we were looking for an amplifier head. But other than that, it was such good fun. God, we had such a good time down there.
Did you even know there was a tape of that concert?
No.
You had never heard it?
Never. I had no idea that had been taped.
And when you heard it for the first time, what did you think?
Rico, damn it. Rico, damn it. I miss Rico. He was my best friend at that time when I... Gone. That was a pain. And that happened in New York. We played New York. Rico got taken away from the band. I don't want to go any further with it than that. That's where it happened.
One of the best songwriters in town? Musicians in town? Enrico?
No, that'd be me.
Of course.
One of.
Okay. Right there. Jim, do you think...
I don't think there's going to be much more said about Gypsy. It's, you know, okay. It is what it is. It was what it was. And, I'm proud of it. And then again, I'm proud of it. Let's put it that way.
Jim, thank you for taking the time to talk to us about your experience with Gypsy.
Thank you, Tom.
The preceding interview was recorded on July 28th, 2010 at Sunrise Sound Studio in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Tom Campbell and Denny Johnson. ¶¶